Hello, welcome to Unloaded, this week's show with John Barkley and Stephen Ferris. Now, we're going to get through a lot of rugby action, but first, the biggest news coming out of the world of rugby is Stephen Ferris's wife is pregnant again.
Great news. Thank you very much. Yes,
well, September. Who's the father is what I want to know. When we find him, Stevie,
we'll be getting that.
I'm going to shake his hand. Oh, no, we're obviously
thanks,
joking.
Thanks very much, lads.
Congratulations. You didn't tell us you wanted to leave it and announce it on social media. Like,
no, I think I texted you earlier on, Shanks, when you were looking for a couple of photos of me on holiday. But looking forward to it. Number two, I need to do a bit of catching up. John's three. Have you three? As well, Shanks.
Three each, mate.
Yeah.
What I'll say, good luck, mate. Is 1 to 2
game changer. Game changer?
Nah, really? Two's easy. Three's a nightmare. Don't have three.
Now, we could chat amongst ourselves for a little bit, but we've got a new segment in this show where I'm the host this week and we get a lookalike on that resembles the host, which is me today. So I'd like to welcome head honcho of Stormers Rugby, John Dobson.
Hello, Chubbs.
Hey, mate, if me, you and Sterling Mortlock were in a room, wow. I would say lock up your mums, you know, the lot. We are carving up. How are you, John?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on. You guys are informed tonight.
Thanks for coming back on. I think you're our most regular guest, so must be paying you well. Slash nothing at all. Now we get into a little bit of rugby. Now, big win for you at the weekend after the Ospreys result, and obviously how the table's moving and how everyone's looking for places for the playoff. How big was it for you to start well the game? Because after the first kickoff, I thought, oh no.
Yeah, look, so I know our analyst's his MacBook is waterproof because after Marnie had done the first kick and then kicked the penalty straight out from that scrum, or didn't kick it out, sorry. The water bottle went across the room and exploded. So I thought we were going down the same vortex we get against Ospreys. Listen, we know what Leinster team it was, but they're never weak and they're always well organized. But for us, it was a massively pressured game. To go from hosting pretty much everything we could have hosted in the first two URCs to, after the Ospreys thing, the chance of hosting anything very remote and chance of not finishing the top eight, would have been disastrous. So the Ospreys was a really bad moment. It's our lowest point in the history of things. So we just needed a win last week against Leinster, and I was pretty pleased with the way we did it. I know which Leinster team it was, but it was still a good performance, I think.
Was there a big emphasis, John, on just starting big and the key areas like scoring before halftime, scoring after halftime, which you seem to nail? And you got 30 points up, and it was really in the bag by that.
We've got a brain dead kicking coach, so he works well with Marnie Libbock. He was a guy called Gareth Wright. He was telling the team we have to be up at halftime, and then we have to score after halftime, and we need to be up in the last 5 minutes. Which I thought was quite tactically brilliant, you know.
Nailed it. Yeah. You absolutely nailed it.
So that's why it works well with Marnie. But no, listen, the plan, it's actually developing into quite a nice thing. The Irish sort of machinery, the Leinsters and the Munsters and the way they play, and the South African way of trying to play it, it's the same at international level, that we've got to physically be in their faces to stop the multi-phase. And that, so that was our big emphasis. It was just the old South African default that you pull out of your pocket of some physicality, some brutality to try and stop the multi-phase system. And for once, we went for scoreboard pressure, you know, because it's not usually our DNA. We normally go to the corner and try and play. So we were 30-0 up, I think, with only two tries, which is very unlike us. But then it helped us in the end. So our most important thing was just to win and stay alive in the competition.
Dobbo, there's a vicious rumor floating around Ulster, Belfast, that certain John Dobson was out having dinner with Stephen Kitsoff the week before he moved home. Were you the deal breaker that got him back to Cape Town?
It was me.
I can't deny a few beers earlier in the week. And come on, Kitsy. Come on, Kitsy. Yeah, you know Very what? Good. Steve. I feel a bit sorry for Stephen. And I tell you why. I don't feel sorry for the amount of money he got. Look, it was a good conversation with Ulster. Ulster were going through, as you know, some rejigging from on various levels, coaching and the chief executive. And I think Kitsy does cost a lot of money. But I do think it's slightly unfair if he gets compared with Eche, Oggi's name, we call it Eche, Oggi, in terms of game time. You know, Oggi's had a horrendous run of injuries. Kitsy, it wasn't Kitsy's idea to come home. That's the truth. You know, he didn't sniff around. I did have a few beers and I gave him a tequila and said, listen, Steve, if you ever, and he said, yeah, well, I've got 2 years to go. And I said, no, if you ever, because I knew that Ulster was sort of vaguely interested. So, I would say to brand him as a really poor signing would be tough on Stephen now. You know, he's a good kid. Not quite the RG sort of 3 games every 5 years sort of thing, you know, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe just the wrong place at the wrong time or the right place at the wrong time. I was going to ask you, Dobbo, there's been a little bit of stuff in the week. And I'm just thinking about this sort of Irish South African rivalry. You've seen it across the URC with the Bulls and Anstey yourselves as well. Was any of that spoken about this week? The stuff that's had come out sort of post-World Cup, pool match, that kind of feeling that the Irish sometimes certainly getting ahead of themselves?
It's becoming a thing in, look at you, you saw Evan's stuff this week. It's becoming a thing in South Africa that this sort of rivalry with the Irish. They think, you know, there's a theory amongst, I don't know how much of Chasing the Sun you've seen, if any, but amongst the players, international players, and even at, you know, URC level, that the Irish are the new sort of New Zealanders, if you know, in our Super Rugby. What I mean by that, obviously, they're very good teams, but they know the sort of how the system, the shortcuts, you know, the little tricks. Leinster scored a very good try against us on Saturday where they were lying on the two of guys who would have been defending on that side of the previous breakdown, you know, when they came on a tap, they came on the other, sorry, the number 8 scored on the other side. So there is this Irish, it is building. And if you've seen Chasing the Sun, and I don't know how much you've seen, but there's a very powerful scene where Russie's standing there and Zombies being sung and they've just lost the pool game. And you can see that this is deeply etched in the South African psyche. So, and then you've got, you know, the Bull, us playing Munster beating us in the final last year, Bulls locking Leinster out in year one. It's becoming a, Ulster and us have had some incredible battles, you know, where we won in the last second and that. So that's becoming like the Irish and South African thing in the URC level and at national level, the series coming up is becoming a really big piece in South African rugby. You know, New Zealand's almost parked now because we don't play them often. And no, it's Ireland's the big thing.
Dobbo, just a quick one. Maybe you could give us an insight on the new consortium that's taken over at the Stormers and on what sort of stability have they brought to the club? Because when you entered the URC, there was so much vulnerability about the Stormers and you know, what direction they were going on and the ownership. And there were so many question marks, even when I, you know, chatted to some of the former South African players, that they didn't really know what was in the future for the Stormers, but now there seems to be some concrete in those foundations. And can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, I mean, the horrible thing is this, as they've come in, the results have got worse, you know, because we were, you know, I've made the funniest, that first tour we did in the first URC tour in your autumn of 2021, we had 2 days in a row, 3 McDonald's a day, which is fine, one and hangover, but to have it as 3 meals a day is a lot.
You can do it.
Jackson, 110 kilos, Dobbo. That's his diet.
But
soup for dinner. That's it.
It's actually got. Look, it's quite interesting because it's a consortium. I sort of went to the one South African businessman at the start, who's a local bank, who sort of deal for the lower element of the market, the lower income. And the consortium is 50% Irish now, which is bizarre. It's a thing called Ardoc, which is a guy called Paul Coulson who's had connection with Leinster. And actually, the guy on the board is Mick Dawson, who ran Leinster Rugby for a long time. So it's half Ardoc, this Irish bottling, who are building sort of bottling plants in the Western Cape, half this sort of, I say, low-income bank. And their model for us is, we're not going to be Galacticos. We're not going the Sharks and Bulls thing of, you know, bringing of signing of these big players. It's just to make us sustainable. And so it's sort of like a gift for the people of the Western Cape, which is, I think it's curious because there's no ego, there's no splash and thing, but there's also, you know, trying to sort of cut our cloth to suit our size, and I think it's unusual model in sports ownership. They're not trying to make money, but they don't want to lose money. But they're giving us massive stability. So now to have, you know, there hasn't been a director of rugby, there hasn't been a chief executive for about 5 years, there hasn't been a board. We were in administration, we were in liquidation. When we last had an executive, five of them were suing each other in the high court. So it's a much different world now. Now people are talking about plans and marketing, and we're doing things like budgets, and we never had that before. So it's a really exciting time for us. For us to have the security. I think the problem is there's nowhere for me to hide anymore now, because now we've got stability. So I can't. Don't make the quarterfinals. I won't be on the show next time.
You'll be fine, Dom. Just in terms of, I think you were our first guest year one with the URC. Just almost 3 years in now. You've seen the crowds pick up. Obviously, Bulls are right up the top. Yourselves are sort of pushing top four. It looks like the Sharks are improving. Just can you give us a sense? Because we don't get a lot of the same media over here. We obviously get a lot of Irish, Welsh, Scottish media. In terms of the sort of feeling within the league, can you give us an insight into the sort of support it's getting in South Africa?
Yeah, I mean, you guys are close to what happened with the Bulls in that quarterfinal of the EPCR, of the Investec Cup. So the URC is significantly more advanced in South Africa. It might be the extra year. I think that the extra year obviously just naturally has helped. But I think the URC, interestingly, local derbies killed Super Rugby when we started getting those crazy conference systems. But it's really worked here. You know, we played we've got a Heidegger and a packed Pretoria in March. You know, we're getting... for Leinster A or B, sorry, what do you, I don't even call it, Leinster second choice team, we had 24,000 in without any problem on a horrible time, 7 o'clock in Cape Town. This time of year is terrible. And so the URC is really landing here now. The rivalries, I think what's also useful, Shanks, something personal, but the Scottish, you know, the Glasgow are a power team by any budget or stress, and the Irish rivalries are really developing. And, you know, and I say, well, I would not disparage on the Welsh because the Ospreys beat us, but the people understand it now. They know what an Osprey is. They didn't know what an Osprey was 2 years ago. The Ospreys have come here and beaten the Stormers in Cape Town. So we can feel the momentum galloping much faster in this tournament now. You know, we could end up fifth, go to Loftus in the fourth. It'll be absolutely jammed. If that game's in whatever quarterfinal, if we made a home one, which is, yeah, Venus will have to align with Uranus and Mars and all that stuff. If we did it, it would be sold out, and that's just brilliant. It's just gathering massive. The South African links, every website, news website in South Africa, not talking about sport, will have a URC guide on the front page of everything. You know, the News 24, NetFact 24. So IOL, there'll be a URC update. It's really landed really well. And people are much, sorry, giving me a long answer, much preferring this to Super Rugby. I think they find it more understandable, obviously, the cliches of the time zone. And now we get to know the teams and there's some proper games, you know.
You've got Dragons and Connacht away, Dobbo, yeah, and Lions at home. What do you think you need from those three games? 10 points, 8 points? I mean, you want to try to finish up as high as you can.
We're going to want to win all three, but Galway is a tough place to play. Tough place to go as a coach because you can't stay in the hotel in that place. You've got to get out. We need. I think two of the three we should be safe. I don't think we've got a chance of hosting one. The Bulls would have to lose two games. I think the curious one is where Leinster's going to finish because they've got some tough games and they've got to balance. This amazing European side. That's interesting. That Leinster could give up what was always a certainty in the URC if they finished top, if they won their playoff, they'd have a home final. We need to win two, I think, to be safe. We would need three to have that remote chance of a home court, but I'm not banking on that. And it actually might be good for us to go away. You know, we've played everyone at home. I'm trying to tell our two owners it's a good experience for us to go play away playoff. But I genuinely think it might be because our away record up north is really poor. And that's where South African teams, or us in particular, have to improve.
Just before we let you go, Dobbo, Warren Gallant's try at the weekend, one of the best I've seen. Little word on him. How we see some amazing stuff from him. We see some mistakes from him, but you don't want to take that out of his game because I think that was the best try of the weekend.
His nickname is the boogeyman. Listen, hard guy to coach. Yeah.
Class.
I give one of my team talks, you know, or some history lesson about the boys in the boat or some guy without a head who won a triathlon. And this guy looks like he's absolutely, it looks to me like a mad or some Greek mythology. And he just shuts down. But he can make some magic on the field. And that's why we got him back. You know, he helped us win the URC one. But the start of the season, everything was going wrong for him. People say, you're mad. And then you get this and it's sort of...
Yeah. He's a little bit like Damian Willems in like in his skill set and how good he is.
Very similar.
That's medal.
That's our problem. Damian Willems, 24, won two World Cup. But that's our problem often with the Stormers this season is how we've tried to fit both on the field, you know, which is tricky because I think Damian's one of the best 15s in the world. But as you say, you get that... You know, as a coach, you're in trouble and then Warwick goes and scores, you know, and you feel like a good coach. But it's just you've got to have him on the field. It's magic.
Well, look, thanks so much for coming on. We'll let you go now. Just so you know, Stevie's not at his nan's house or his grandpa's house. He is actually on holiday and he's probably had 10 pints. So he's done a pretty good job. For staying sober.
11. Oh, 11. Yeah, 11.
Good luck. Good luck. And we hope
cheers,
to see
double.
You.
What a great guy.
We say the same every time.
Yeah.
He comes
favorite guest.
It's just so refreshing. Like he's just so honest.
How good would it be if we did a show in Dublin and he was a guest? I'd make sure I got the late flight home the next day.
Yeah. I bet he's fond of you. I bet he's great fun. Good night out.
Yeah. It is honestly, it's weird how much he looks like me. He'd easily be my father. Right. Thanks to John Dobson for coming on and sharing a little bit of insight into what rugby's like in South Africa and how the Stormers are doing. We'll get on to the rugby action now from the weekend. First game up, Ulster 38, Benetton 34. Stevie, did you watch it or have you seen the game?
No, I didn't watch it live, but I've seen the highlights of the match. We were clinical in attack, really, really clinical. I'm saying we, that's a pet hate of mine. Ulster were really, really clinical in attack, but got off to a horrendous start. Was it Menicello? Get over for the first try for Benetton. It was a brilliant night of rugby in terms of, you know, the dry ball. John Cooney was electric, set up a couple of tries, was emphatic with the boot, kicked all his points. And he just looks like he's playing with a bit of freedom. Actually read a column that Richie Murphy's told him that he wants him to run a lot more with the ball, get himself involved in games a lot more. So we started to see that a little bit. The Kingspan by all accounts is rocking as well. 10 tries on show, but you know, this is Benetton away from home and we gifted them in the 80th minute another bonus point, you know, so they left with two bonus points. They're on 44, I think, Shanks. Yeah, it's really, really tight, and that'll sting them a little bit. But Ulster have got Leinster at home, Scarlets away first, Leinster at home, and Munster away.
Yep.
So it's going to be so tight. It's going to be so tight. But they look brilliant in attack, especially with Stockdale, Balakoon, Addison at 13. Their scrum got pumped a little bit. Their lineout was okay. Their scrum wasn't great. 75%, I think, tackles made. So, you know, they really need to work on that if they're going to, you know, challenge in a quarterfinal of the URC, which is most likely going to be away from home. However, it's a big win, 5 points, and, you know, that's back-to-back wins, which is great.
I think anyone sort of mid-table from 5th to 11th would, I just hope in that no teams pick up losing bonus points. Because that changes the dynamic completely. It was in the 80th minute, wasn't it? Got the second losing bonus point, finishing within 7. I was watching some of the scenes after, Stevie, on the match. And do you know what was good? It looked like the players had a real connection with the fans after that game. Because there has been a lot of negativity with Ulster, you know, with losing CEO, losing coach. But the players signing autographs after, walking around, it was a lovely day. And it's just nice to see that they connect with the Ulster supporters because it's been a bit of a tough year for them.
Yeah, no, it has. I think over the last year, Shanks, the fans have turned up and the players not necessarily haven't put in a shift because they always try and put in a shift. There's not a lack of energy or, you know, determination every time they take the pitch, but there's maybe been a lack of respect towards the fans after games where they've stood in the wet, piss and rain for 3 hours and, you know, say Ulster get beaten at home by Edinburgh and the boys just disappear down the tunnel or whatever. I'm not saying that that did happen, but there's all that's what we're talking about, the disconnect, you know, and to see that happening after the game, like the amount of, you know, Ulster will be putting up on their social media, all the selfies that fans are reposting on their social media. It's brilliant to see. And it enhances the brand as well, like, you know, as a business. So, it was a great night for Ulster Rugby. And if they can fix up their defence, you know, hopefully they can go a bit further in this competition.
Yeah, I think they will. Cardiff 7, Edinburgh 24. Edinburgh, John, just 10 wins, same as Munster, same as the Bulls, one less than Leinster, you know, but where are they sitting? Like nearly 10th or 9th at the moment, but a decent performance from them because you still would have go to an informed Cardiff team and win.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of, it was almost a bit older version of Edinburgh. I think they were looking at the game. They dominated Cardiff up front. You know, most of the tries and all them were tight quarters, pick and goes, which is, I think, probably a nod to they're not quite sure how they're trying to attack at the moment. But also we saw a few weeks ago against Scarlets, when they can be disciplined and when they can, their defence is still an issue, I think, although they didn't concede many this week, they've actually got a handy pack. And, you know, Schoeman's in there, Ewan Ashman, they put out a really strong team. Because they have to, I mean, all teams have to, don't they, at this point in the season. So, yeah, I just think Edinburgh are
ticking along, aren't they? They're just ticking along. They're doing enough.
A little bit. I mean, I don't think, like, maybe similar to Ulster, I don't think they'd have to have a huge game to win a quarterfinal away from home. But I just think, I think that's maybe where they are this year. And it sounds a bit harsh, but, you know, they've got to try and improve their attack. They've got to improve certain parts of their defence as well. But like they're, in terms of results and stuff, they're sitting pretty decent at the moment.
Yeah, they are. Cardiff made nearly 250 tackles to Edinburgh's 100. So that tells you how the game was played. All tries were scored by front rowers. So again, tells you it wasn't overly expansive. Cardiff struggled line up more time. Edinburgh defended it really well. And Hooson made an amazing tackle just before half time, a spot blitz off a turnover ball, which would have been a try. Just key moments like that they won, but they were far more physical, John. They dominated those collisions. Like bringing someone like Mata off the bench.
Yeah.
It's massive, mate. It's huge.
You were calling for a red card for Duane's.
Oh, you listened, did you? You watched?
Yeah. Oh, I listened to you. I listen all the time.
No, I called a red card when it happened because initially it looked like he took Theo Cabango's head off.
Yeah.
But I think he just dropped, didn't he, Cabango? Yeah. Literally dropped. But I think probably yellow was the right call. But a couple of nice breaks from Duane van der Merwe. Certainly gets him on the front foot. There's a nice race as well between him and Mason Grady. Anyone else, Mason Grady would have scored that try, but he's up against someone of the same power and pace. And Duane got him just down. But yeah, another try from Rhys Carey, but won't make a difference into him getting in the Welsh squad. Lions Munster. Now, I thought after the Lions' big performance against Leinster, I expected them to be a little bit better than they were, Stevie.
Yeah, so did I. I think we all went for a bit of a Lions win. Didn't happen. This didn't happen. Nope. Munster, correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, our producer, but I think that's four wins and a draw for Munster in South Africa in their last five games. So,
certainly the last two games, they got 10 points. So they got 10 points in their trip there, which is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, and they look like a different animal. I thought Sean O'Brien was brilliant at 12. I know he's played in the back three all season, predominantly on the wing, but Simon Zebo, class act. This would have been probably the try of the season if he hadn't been tripped up. What do you reckon? Do you reckon if he hadn't got that down, it would have been the try of the season?
No.
I mean, he's milked it, but
Evan Roos against the Ospreys was better.
Come on.
Did you see Evan
Roos? I think it's a yellow card. No, it's a yellow card. But yeah, it wasn't that good to see.
No.
He's gone down like good. Sergio Ramos.
Yeah. Yeah, he really went for it, didn't he?
The arms come up in the air.
I think Munster played the right way. against the Lions, like if it's loose and up at altitude and you're hanging, but they managed to control the game. They're physical up front and Moore was good. I think that's the way over there. Just don't play loose. Munster got the edge over the Safra teams at the moment for sure.
I'm not sure the Lions are going to be able to get through. They're currently on 39 points and they've got Cardiff home, Glasgow home, Stormers away. So I'm not sure that's going to be enough to get through. I mean,
I don't think even 10 points out of that, Shanks. 10 points out of that.
I guess the
nine. I don't think it's going to be enough.
No, yeah. I think in 49, maybe 50 is going to be the bare minimum. Yeah. Probably 50 with everything going on. So it's going to be a tough ask then. But hey, just like last year, Munster peaking at the right times.
Yeah. Ben just sent me 6 wins in a row in the URC, 29 points out of a possible 30 for Munster. So they're absolutely flying. A couple of big names back as well. Snyman and Tagburn in the second round.
Get rid of that child, really, John. Job. There's a child for those listening. John's office. Get rid of him, John.
He's going to have to play golf. That's why he's going to go and hit some balls today, this evening.
Munster have got Connacht and Ulster at home and Edinburgh away. So you they'll be gunning for a home quarter final. Absolutely gone for a home quarter final.
Definitely. That's the key, isn't it? We saw that last year. Bulls 61, Ospreys 24.
Welcome back to reality, Ospreys.
A little bit like that. Dominated again by pace and power. Some really nice try. I mean, the surface was absolutely perfect to play on, and Aronson was just carving up. That was tries from Moody, I'm sure. Creel as well. And you know, we didn't expect the Ospreys really to score many points in their tour out there, and they scored. Did they score a winning bonus last week against the Stormers? Well, they certainly won, so it's either 4 or 5 tries. But the key was they were 19-10 up, the Bulls, just after halftime, and Reece Henry throws an intercept, which Creel gets hold of, and they end up scoring. Moody scores, and that was a huge turning point in the game because they're well in the game then. And then it was just, the Bulls just ran riot and the Ospreys didn't really have anything to come back with. So I think they'll be pretty happy with what they've done and the win out there, move on. And I think they're going to have to hope a few results fall their way because they've got, who have they got next? They've got Leinster away, which is going to be tough. They've got Dragons at home, Cardiff at home. Now, I think if the Ospreys can get 10 points, that gets them to 50, which might be enough to get into the quarterfinals.
I think Shanks, it's going to be Benetton, Ulster, Edinburgh and Ospreys for like one spot.
I'm not sure Benetton, because they've got to go to Sharks and Bulls away and Edinburgh at home, and they're on 44. And I'm not sure any of those three are possible.
It's so tight.
Yeah, it is so tight. It is very tight. I mean, at the moment, you wouldn't necessarily think Ben's going to beat Sharks and Bulls away in South Africa, are you? I wouldn't say so. They're not a great team away from home. They're good at home.
No.
Which means they've got Edinburgh last game. So a lot of it is going to come down to last game of the season, which is what we want, which makes it exciting. No dead rubber anymore, apart from if you're a Welsh team or Zebre or Sharks. Because it's all gone. We've just got the Welsh Shield. That's all we got.
Our Sharks here. Yeah. Yeah. And they're playing. All right.
Okay. Yeah. We've come good late. Stormers, Leinster. We spoke to Dobbo a fair bit about it. Stevie, Leinster.
Yeah.
2 games now. Yeah. Again, well beaten.
44 points against the Lions, 42 points. Jacques Nienaber getting all the credit, like, for how good Leinster's defense was against La Rochelle, and so far it's coming into the job in the league. But you know, they get dominated. Ruddock, Penny, Deegan in the back row, experience, a lot of minutes under their belt this season, and in previous seasons a bit more experience. But when they were, 23-0 down at halftime, and you just looked at the Leinster bench and you were like, absolutely no chance, that's it, game's dead and buried, it was over. And it was an inexperienced side, especially with Sam Prendergast at 10, who didn't play particularly well, couldn't marshal his troops around the pitch, and yeah, they were on the back foot. And this is a stat that I plucked out, and it could be wrong. If it is wrong, it might only be a little bit wrong. But Leinster's tackle success in the game was 54%. 54% in the game. Madness. Absolutely madness. So, yeah, they need to sort that out. And we know it's going to be a completely different team that's running out against Northampton in 82,300 people Croke Park Saturday. But it's going to have to be a different team that we see in the URC for the last couple of weeks, or else, as you know, Dobbo said, they could be fighting for a fourth, fifth place if they don't buck up their ideas. But no, unbelievable. I think you got to give credit to the Stormers. Very clinical, really well drilled. And yeah, you know, they put the hammer down after the halftime.
Yeah. That's the difference, isn't it, with Stormers? Like Dobbo touched on it, just like they've been in the cycle of just, you know, turnovers, offloads to floor. I can't remember which game I did. It was maddening to watch. Just consistent.
Ulster game. Oh, we did the Ulster game.
Yeah.
We did a double header, and they were so bad.
Fire. But that looks like, that's the worrying thing. When the Stormers are good, they're going to be hard to beat. If they can sort of trend at the right time, get that. If they got Bulls, Stormers, that'd be mad. That'd be unbelievable game.
I don't think I'd say with the Stormers, they can get spooked.
Yeah.
You're right. When they're on, they're absolutely on, and they can easily be the best team in the league. But when they're spooked, they start flying off their feet. Balls start going down. They try the miracle passes. They don't always work. But you're right, though. When they're on fire, mate, good luck.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're looking at that team at the table, of the people below fourth, you don't want to play Stormers. You know, that's the one team you're thinking, shit, like, this is the one team we don't want to see till later on. Because if they get it right, we could be out of the quarters, and we're not expecting that.
Yeah, I think the other teams. he's just left the screen, and he's just having a quick pint, quick sip of his pina colada. Yeah, you're right, because a lot of the other teams don't win many games away from home, nor does Stormers win, but they are dangerous, that's for sure. Zebre Glasgow, big start for Zebre. I think they went 6-0 up, a couple of penalties. But you just had a sense, didn't you, John, that Glasgow were going to come back too strong, pick too good a team, too powerful, too well drilled.
Yeah, I think so. And Zebre missed a few kicks at the start of the game, and they could have been 9-12 up. They were slow to start last week as well. They were kind of playing in spells at the moment, but they made a few changes. Jimmy Dobby was nine, Ross Thompson. They shifted up, which Franco Smith doesn't do a lot, if you're honest. The guys come straight back and they play, and it seems to work for them. But they left enough in there from an experience looking at the team now. Tui Plotu was playing, Stain was playing, McDowell, Mackay. So they left a lot of their starting back three, back five players, and they're just too good in the end. Like when it opens up, I think they've got such good skill level. They're super fit by all accounts in terms of Franco.
Stain was excellent as well.
Yeah. He's the kind of player that I think just so underrated. Just gets through so much work. He's physical, low error count, just works his arse off. So, yeah.
And I mean, also, players like Darcy Graham and Randy Mover in terms of Scotland get a lot of the headlines.
Yeah, he doesn't get many compared to those guys. But yeah, I think it'll be the top of the table. We were chatting before we came on. You know, Leinster have slipped up a bit. Who's Glasgow's running, actually? It's not. They got Zebre in the last game. Who have they got to come?
Because they could
end up potentially, it's a long way to go, but I think home quarter, home semi, and they're talking about putting it in Murrayfield, the home final, if they get to it.
Yeah, so Glasgow running is Bulls away, Lions away,
they got
Zebre home.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to keep top spot then.
Well, what we've seen, though, it can be done by teams.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing a lot more competitive rugby out in South Africa. When you think of the first year, maybe a little bit in the second year, you know, there weren't many wins at all. But I think now teams are playing against South Africa teams a lot more. They're understanding how to beat them, how to take them apart. So there's a chance, John. There's a chance.
You're telling me there's a chance.
We'll move on then to Dragons Connacht. Now, Dragons start the game pretty poorly, kicks out on the full, Rodri Williams. Kai, Evans just really not managing any territory that well, and it was a good start from Connacht. But I suppose the biggest talking point of the game was, I believe it was 27 all, it might have been 20 all, and a red card to Ben Carter. Now, I don't know if you boys have seen it. It's, I think it might be Jennings comes back in, cuts back in, and literally runs straight into Ben Carter's shoulder. Like, it's one of those, I think, situations where what is the defender meant to do? Like, hopefully we're gonna see it. For those at home, you'll have to Google it, rewatch the show. But it was such a big moment because the Dragons clawed their way back in after a really good start by Connacht. Roger Williams scored a try. Steph Hughes scored a really nice try off the line out. Connacht went back to the driving maul, just trying to take on the Dragons physically. But it was the talking point. And for me, when a player can't move or a player has no option, then should it be a red card?
So, do you think, Shanks, that it would have, that it did affect the outcome of the game?
Yeah, it did.
Because
it was 20 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago when the scores were level, 27-all. So it was 10 minutes ago, 27-all. It was a red card. And when you slow it down, like, the collision isn't great. And we're trying to get away from head collisions. I get that. But Jennings has run straight into him. He hasn't even looked where he's going. He's run straight into Ben Carter's shoulder, who's just stood still. And he's come, come out of his channel.
There's no momentum forward, Shanks, from Carter, really, is there?
No.
He just stood there.
Yeah. I just think, what are you meant to do in those situations? Because
compared to Luke McGrath, yellow card against the Bulls, where he's run from 50 yards and ends up with yellow. And that's the thing what people get upset with. And you're like, well, actually, it's at the line. He's not really, like you say, he's got nowhere to go.
No.
I personally think they should both be red cards. I think the second one is harsh, but it's just what, maybe you can't, yeah, maybe you're right, Shanks. Maybe I'm sort of talking myself around here. You can't do anything about it. So where's he meant to go? What's he meant to do?
You don't run around on your haunches, do you?
You think it's a penalty, Stevie?
It's a penalty. I think it's just a penalty. Yeah.
Well, if it's a penalty, it's going to be a red card. Has it not?
Why?
Well, why is it a penalty?
Because there is a little bit of danger to it, but I don't believe there's it's a red card danger offense, like no chance.
Okay, so the mitigating factor is that
he's run straight
into his shoulder. He's not even looked where he's going. There's got to be emphasis on the ball carrier. Everything at the moment is all geared around the defender. No one ever questions what the ball carrier is doing. So if I hold my fist out like this,
reason for that is to get the tackler to be lower.
Yeah, but you can't. Not every tackle's going to be low. Like, I know, I understand that, but if you're changing direction, you can't be low down. You've got to be upright. And if someone runs into your shoulder, I'm sorry, there has to be emphasis on ball carry, looking where he's going. But I'll probably get hammered for that now. I've been watching Jimmy Graham. I've been watching Jimmy Graham on NRL. You watch that little segment on this. Brilliant. It's brilliant. He's rugby league from, I think he was in St. Helens. He's gone across to him.
Shanks, do you reckon Connacht have enough to squeeze into the top eight?
Connacht are currently on 44 points. So if we're saying 50-51 is going to be the minimum you need. They've got Munster away, Stormers home, Leinster away. I don't think they've got enough, no.
No.
Too
tight. Yeah.
It's too, like, yeah. There's the only chance I think they've got of a win there would be Stormers home. Yeah. I don't think they're going to get anything at Munster away, Leinster away. So,
yeah, I agree.
A little bit too tight. Now, Scarlets, Sharks, 27-34. Now, John, last week you mentioned that it was a good game for the Scarlets against Edinburgh because they got something to work on. Again, same with this game.
I agree. I think the Sharks are much better. And we've always said this, and we said every single week for 15 weeks, you know, how are they where they are on the table? But they've won four, five, including Europe, they've won probably five or six in a row. and they've got the guys coming back. So, yeah, I just think, look, I don't want to get too down on Scarlets. They've lost two in a row, but there's more in them. And
yeah, there is.
Time of the year when they could just say, do you know what? That the season's done. We're not going to qualify. They've got a bit of fight in them. So I think the big players, I said it last week, big players are stepping up. And
Johnny Williams was excellent at the weekend. Yeah. His carrying game, his defensive game was huge. It was really good to see Johan Nicholas score a try. Hasn't scored in nearly 5 years. So he goes over for a try, ends that drought. But a couple of things stood out for me was Matthias scores. Then they lose the kickoff. They knock it on. They lose the line out then 5 metres out. And then a couple of crossfield kicks for Werner Kock to score. You know, in terms of the Sharks, it was a cockfest because Werner scores 3, Vincent scores 1. But they just left themselves a little bit short. They left themselves a little bit short on the crossfield kick. And I think they could do a lot better.
You've waited all show to say that.
They could do a lot better on the crossfield kicks. Tommy Lewis loses it on the first Werner Kock try. Johan Nicholas loses it on the second. When your back's turned on those crossfield kicks, you've got no idea where the ball is, you know, and more often than not, that will end up in a try because you just lose it in the air. So it was a much better performance by Scarlets. If they played like that all year round, they wouldn't be down right down the bottom of the table. They'd be a lot better. So positivity coming out of the camp at last because they've had some horrific losses. And that is it. That is the rugby done. Done and dusted. A lot to get through there. An exciting weekend of rugby action. Lots of tries, which is exactly what we want, don't we? Now we move on to our next little segment, rant of the week. I got one rant, and that is pundits going away during the middle of the season. Shouldn't be allowed. Your job is to cover games.
Yeah,
I don't know whether you've taken a sabbatical after McCloskey has owned you.
At least I turned up. Like when Mark goes away, he just doesn't bother coming on.
Singapore.
Yeah. Well, that's your fault. Go somewhere further than where you, Lanzarote. Go somewhere nice.
Lanzarote.
Mate, I'm on TV side. I had a tough one. I've had my flights moved I'm going to holiday in June, and the flights got moved, so I'm actually not going to be doing games. So I think pundits should actually have the flexibility to be refreshed and be present and be energized for the run of the season. So I'm with you, Steve.
Oh, yeah. I'm not here for the quarters. So
are you not?
Take that back.
Oh, there we go.
I've got a charity trip. Portugal. I've got a charity trip. You're spying on me, Stevie. Yeah.
Charity trip. Hold on.
Alice Jenkins told us last week that he was going on it with you.
Of course. We're raising money for Cardiff Rugby Community Foundation. So, any other rants? We got any other rants? No,
Steve. Yeah, I have a rant.
I'll let Steve go last because this is good if I know what it is. I'm trying to get my kids to play golf at the moment, which is hard enough in itself. I think we've let 8 people play through us by the 4th hole because we're playing slow. And I had these guys shouting, these old men shouting, heckling. I was like, lads, give the boys a chance. And so, they're going to get our golf. And I was like, nah, not having it. So, those guys, they probably don't listen to this. If they do, if I see them again,
that's the golf course.
I would say, I'd definitely say, John, your kids would play with Pro V1s 100%.
No, they do know what Pro V1s are. I'm getting them the Dunlops, the old Slazenger specials.
Kirkland's from Costco.
They lost a brand new Pro V the other day, which wasn't good.
No, all right,
mine as well.
Fair enough. Give kids a bit of leeway, Stevie. Rant,
yeah, it's really easy. It was just 2 degrees too hot today in Lanzarote for me. So that's it.
Where's your tan? You've got a parasol. Oh.
That's the beer belly.
That reminds me, I've got to buy some milk. Run out of milk. Stevie just lifted up his top and showed us what, I don't know, could only be described as custard. Right, that is Rants of the Week. Now we've got a new segment. I don't know why we're bringing a new segment in. We've only got a few shows left, but this is the new inbox segment. So
you're kind of unloaded.
You get your questions into URC Unloaded. Just lost the actual email address there at gmail.com. URC Unloaded at gmail.com. Each week we'll read out the best questions Producer Ben, do we have any questions this week? Oh
my God.
You're giving us an essay here. How long does the linesman determine where a line-out should be taken from? I often see them running the 25, 30 metres from where the ball actually crossed the line. Similar question. What yardstick is used to determine where a conversion kick is taken from? They do it by sight. They guesstimate where the ball's going to be kicked.
Yeah.
And they look above their head. Right, yeah. There it is. Sometimes Kevin, you get a bit more, sometimes you don't.
Yeah, Kevin, that first one, Shanks. Oh, go on ahead, John.
I was going to say, Kevin's ruined this section. Week one, and he's asked the worst question I've ever heard. So I don't know what he's up to, Big Kev.
That first question was about the touch judge. So I didn't know either. So why do they stand right on the try line and then run maybe 40 or 50 yards back to where they think the ball's been kicked out? It's because it gets kicked dead. I didn't know that.
Okay.
There you go.
Ruined it now. Could the Three Amigos tell me why at the South African grounds they insist on playing music through the PA system at every stoppage of play? Is it a cultural thing? Billy, who wants to take this one?
I don't know the answer, so probably just for fun.
Get the crowd going. It's to create atmosphere. It's to create a party atmosphere. You see it a lot. You see it at like sevens, don't you? Probably more so. You probably see it at the Super Bowl. Maybe Billy is a bit like Sean Edwards. Because when he was coaching Wales, he came into the change room and like for two games during the Six Nations, he wouldn't let us play any music before a game. He said it was the wrong beat. He said the beat's too fast. It's not the right kind of beat. So he turned it off and then player power turned him over. Right. What is Ryan Wilson like to work with? And that is Mandy.
Tricky. Very tricky. I mean, after the game, did you listen to the game? And he was getting Google Translate and playing it through his mic. He's forever stuffing sweets in your mouth when you're commentating, always playing with your knobs when you're on commentary, your things that change the volume and commentary.
Glad to clarify that.
Yeah.
All right,
bud.
Can't wait to work with him.
Have you worked with him, Shanks? You must have.
I mean, he just gives away little secrets all the time on air, and he doesn't need to. Like, there he is, tucking into a load more sweets. I'm like, why are you going to tell people that?
He's shaming you. It's for your own health, Shane.
Yeah, I get that. He's loose, but he's fun. Question number three. This is from Dave. Who is your favourite pundit from another sport and why? Ooh, good question.
From another sport or another country, did it say? Sorry.
Another sport.
Oh,
it's Roy Keane.
Yeah, good one, Steve.
Like that. Micah Richards.
I don't. Yeah.
I love my favorite combo at the moment is Kate Abdo, Micah Richards, Thierry Henry, and Jamie Carragher on CBS. They do their European football. I think it's brilliant what they do.
Yeah, I was going to say Gary Neville.
Oh, it's brilliant. Have a look online. All right, boys, have you seen Rory McIlroy singing?
Yeah, awful.
Mate, it's amazing. But how good is that?
I didn't think you had it in him, to be honest.
For those who haven't seen it, make sure you go online and Google Rory McIlroy, because he wins a tournament with Shane Lowry. And he goes into a hospitality tent just to thank the people there. And there's an 80s band on there, all dressed up in as different characters. And he just thanks everyone. And he hands the mic back to the guy. And the guy says, do you want to sing a song? He goes, no, I can't sing. And one of them says, oh, I'll sing with you. He says, I don't know any 80s songs. And the guy says, do you know Journey, Don't Stop Believing? And he goes, yeah. And then they force him to sing it on his own. It's brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah.
It's not often you see that.
Go for it.
You're winning.
Much cash.
What, for the song? Who needs live tour when you got that, is what I say. Any more questions before we go? With Ferris at 6, Burke at 7, who would you both have as your number 8 in the back row? All in the game, this is from. Either retired or currently playing.
Oof.
Good show is a far show.
Yeah, sorry. I'm gonna keep it local. I always thought Tia Tia. I feel like Tia Tia was an absolute nightmare to play against.
Okay.
Like Bobby Skinstad.
Oh, Bobby. I didn't play against him. So yeah. No, I didn't play.
It doesn't matter.
Neither did I, but he's just such a good looking bloke. I'm going to put him in there. Balance it out a bit.
A rose between two thorns.
There so who said Tia Tia? You did, John. Stevie, yeah. Are you going with Ferris?
I'll go with Jerome Kino.
Okay, Jerome Kino. Yeah, good one. And he felt sorry for me, so he's asked me who I would have as a 12. If I played 13, I would say Tim Horan. Oh, one of the greatest.
No, there. Too small.
Two World Cups, mate.
Tiny, man.
No, it's two tiny. World Cups, and yeah, I did play with him at Saracen, so even better. Or my father. I said my father. There we are. Thank you for your questions. Make sure you get them in for the next time we're on this show, which is a couple of weeks. Now, final thoughts. European preview, Champions Cup, Leinster, Northampton at Croke Park, 82,300 seller. Amazing work by Leinster. Cannot wait to see Mike McCarthy revving the crowd up. No one in the business does it better than Mike.
Wilson's giving a run for his money, isn't he?
Yeah, Wilson's giving him a run for his money, he is. JB, he sure is. But I can't wait for the game, like, can't wait. It's going to be awesome. I cannot see Northampton upsetting the odds. No. Nope. I'm going to say Leinster by a points victory margin of, 15 to 20 points?
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally agree, mate. Totally agree.
Yeah. Agree with you, Stevie.
All courts game. Toulouse versus Harlequins. I'm going to lose.
Similar,
too big, too strong. Again.
It's weird. At this stage, you can't see either of these being tight. I might be wrong, but you can only see Leinster Toulouse final at this stage.
I would say Leinster and Toulouse can play, I would say, 85 to 90% and win, whilst Northampton and Quins have to play 110%.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, did you give Quins much of a chance against Bordeaux?
Yeah, if you watch that game, like, I think Toulouse are going to be the same as Bordeaux.
No,
Bordeaux got too much quality.
Toulouse are better. Gloucester, Benetton in the Challenge Cup. Gloucester at home. Gloucester?
Yeah.
I think.
Gloucester.
Sharks and Claremont at the Stoop. Tapping into the South African market.
Claremont.
Ooh.
I'm
going to
say Sharks.
Claremont are going well. Claremont are going a lot better the last sort of 6 weeks, 8 weeks, even in the top 14. So,
yeah
your guy Alvarelli Raka. Man, he is an absolute freak. Good. And the new number eight, I can't remember his name. He was unbelievable against Ulster. And Yato, the other guy in the back row. A couple of big centers as well. So
you've charmed me. You've charmed me, mate. Well done. I'm with you.
All right.
Kirantos says, Fez, you look like you gasped me to get back to the pool to swim up bar. We'll wrap up now, boys. Thank you so much for your time on this show. We'll be back after the next round, which is round 15. That is it. Make sure you watch Premier Sports, download the app, watch, subscribe, enjoy, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye.